We'll be in Acts chapter 2 is where we're going to be. And Acts chapter 2 is an amazing place because what it talks about is the beginning of the early church. This is the beginning. This is where the Holy Spirit's going to come. It's going to be an amazing time as we look into this to see, because we've been talking about prayer last week, talking about prayer. We've been praying as a church, even just saying, Lord, we want you to do great things through prayer. Mission Control is the behind the scenes of prayer. Last week, I gave you a homework assignment that you would pray with your spouse or your kids or a friend every day this week, that if you could, that you'd hold their hand, that you'd pray with them. I hope that you did that. If not, that's okay. Guess what? You could do it next week. And then after the homework assignment's over, you could keep doing it the rest of your life. It'd be awesome. It's a great thing to be able to do, because prayer maximizes thee and it minimizes me. And we're going to see a uniting in this passage. Prayer unites us as well. As we maximize God and minimize us, it unites us. It draws us together. And so we're going to see that in the early church, the birth of the church in this passage, that they will be united by language in just a moment. It's kind of an interesting passage, because this passage of Scripture is kind of like being pregnant and then having a baby. Now, here's what it is. When you're pregnant, you know you're going to have a baby, right? You're aware. You should know this. This shouldn't be a surprise. The dad should know. The mom should know. You've heard all about this. You've talked all about this. You've predicted that it's going to happen in 9 months. It's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. You've been getting ready for this. And so you're moving in this way. But then this baby comes and your whole life gets turned upside down. It's like shockaroo, because everybody had tricked you that it was easy. That's what had happened. They say, oh, it's just cute clothes. It's like a doll. You just dress up the doll, and you lay them down when you want, and then you pick them up when you want. And then you come back, you're like, you lied to me, is what you did. Every baby shower, you lied to me, because this is a lot harder than what you think it is. You remember when there was a 59 Diner before they widened the freeway down there? We'd go down there and eat breakfast, and this lady was holding this baby. And I said, what a cute baby. And she said, yeah, it's really hard. And I said, well, okay. And she just, almost started crying in the lobby of 59 Diner. And I was like waiting for her to say, because you're my pastor. She didn't know who I was on the planet. She just was confessing the heart. And the dad was like, uh-huh. Can the baby sit at your table and we could just eat breakfast at the next booth? You know, it's kind of what they wanted. They knew it was coming, but they didn't understand what was really coming. They know that the Holy Spirit is coming. And what in the world is going on that when the Holy Spirit arrives? Some wild things begin to happen. We're going to look at them. Some very interesting things begin to happen. 3,000 people are going to come to Christ. Peter's going to have to start going, okay, where's my verses in Joel to bring out? Okay, what? It is like we've been hearing about the Messiah. We've been hearing about the Holy Spirit. We've been hearing about this new covenant. We've been hearing about God doing something and sending a son through the entire Old Testament. And then it happens. Whoa. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were staying. And tongues like flames of fire were divided and appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different languages as the Spirit gave them ability for speech. Let's take a pause. Here they are now on the day of Pentecost. There's three things that happen in many others, but we're going to talk about three in the beginning. Three things that happen at the birth of the church. This is the birth of the New Testament church. This is the birth of what's taking place. We've seen almost a year ago the birth of a downtown campus, but this is the birth of a New Testament church from the very, very beginning. And there's three things that happen. The first thing that happens is it's a part of God's timing. God's timing at Pentecost. Pentecost is 50 days after Passover. Now, Pentecost means literally 50. Now, you would know that because you're smart. I'll tell you a little bit. Penta, that's the word kind of for five, right? We have a pentagon in our government. Has five sides to it. So, Pentecost is 50 days after Passover. It was a Jewish feast. And so here's this Jewish feast of Passover, that they had the Passover lamb. If you remember from Exodus, a lamb was slain and blood was put on the doorpost of your house so that the angel of death would pass over and the wrath of God would pass over. New Testament, Jesus is the Lamb slain for our sins. His blood is over our hearts so that the wrath of God passes over us in Christ. So that's when Jesus died. He's the Passover Lamb. Is that coincidence that he died at Passover? No, it's not. It's the plan and the timing of God. 50 days later, we end up at Pentecost. Pentecost is a Jewish feast, and Jerusalem was packed. Now, why is it God's timing for the Holy Spirit to come and the birth of the church to happen at this place? It's God's timing for this reason. Jerusalem is packed with all these different nationalities. People are coming from far and wide into this feast, and it's a feast to celebrate harvest. And what will the church be but the harvest of souls? The declaration of the gospel of Christ. That Jesus Christ died on a cross. The one and true God sent his son Christ. He died on the cross to pay for your sins and my sins. And so that we could be harvested in. So God's timing is perfect in this. Pentecost is 50 days after. And here the Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost. It's an amazing thing of God's timing. Secondly, we have this. We have God's power. It says the sound of a violent rushing wind in verse 2. Suddenly the sound of that like a violent rushing wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were staying. God's power comes in the wind. God's power is shown in the wind. Think about what wind does. We should know this living in the South. Wind comes in a hurricane, and what happens in a hurricane? It knocks down anything standing against it. If something stands against the wind will knock it down if it is a violent, powerful storm. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they are divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretense, hear it, that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So when something sets itself up against the knowledge of God, the violent wind, the sound, though, in this, I'll tell you in a minute, comes through, and God, all throughout the scriptures, is knocking down idols that stand up against his power. So all through the book of Acts, we're going to see idols going down. Little statues for some that they worship. For us in our culture today, idols of fame, idols of fortune, idols of success, idols of whatever it is that grabs our heart to steal it from Christ. And the wind of the Spirit of God blowing through your life and my life knocks down the idols in my life. So when the Holy Spirit blows, it knocks down things in my life. And what I do, unfortunately, is I begin to try to prop them back up. Because I'm often comfortable with what is arranged. I like my dominoes to be positioned just well. I understand their maze, and yet the Spirit of God can come and blow. But it's interesting, though, it's the sound of a wind. It's not a real wind, because if it was a real wind, that kind of ruins the rest of the story, right? Peter's going, shake on the ground. I mean, it's not the moment, okay? It's not Indiana Jones moment going through the desert with the wind against him. It is a moment of they hear this sound. Now, why would this be? Think about wind in the Bible. What happens in Genesis? How did life come into man? The breath of God blew into man, and man moved from just dirt into a person, into life. His breath, his wind, same words, the wind of the Spirit, the wind of God going into man gave us life. Go further along and you end up in John 3. And Jesus starts talking about the Holy Spirit, that somebody is born again. You don't just ease into Christianity, you're born again. And then he says in John chapter 3, verse 5, right after talking to Nicodemus, he says, the wind blows where it wishes. So it is with the Spirit of God. No one knows where it comes from, and no one knows where it is going. It is his Spirit and going. Sometimes we think about, what's God going to be doing in 5 years? Who knows? Do you have a clue what God's going to do in 5 minutes? Now, of course, we plan and we look and we forecast, and no question about it. But God's power and his wind. And so here at the beginning of the church, we see God's timing. We see God's power. And then finally, we see God's presence. We see God's presence. Where do we see that? We see it in the fire. We see it in the fire. God's presence is shown in the fire. Well, what do you mean by that? How is it shown in the fire? Well, what did Moses walk up to but a burning bush? What were the people of Israel led out at nighttime with but a pillar of fire? What did Isaiah say in chapter 6? They brought a hot coal, a flaming coal to touch his lips. He was pretty strong against the people at that time, wasn't he? A lot of judgment, a lot of judgment. He gets the fire of God on his lips and he says, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. The presence of God through fire gives us the purity of God through fire. His presence in our lives is a refining fire. It draws us up. It brings up the dross. It brings up the excess so that it can be scraped across the top, just as you would with some kind of metal, to bring the precious metal to look, to forecast there, and to bring it about. It brings off all the waste and it takes it up so that they can take it off. Fire purifies. Fire purifies. And so what do we see at the very beginning of this? We see at the very beginning of this God's timing, God's power, and God's presence. What do we want to see in our lives as believers in Christ? I want to see God's timing, God's power, and God's presence. I want to see that. I want to experience that. What do we want in our church? We want God's timing. We want God's power. We want God's presence, because that's the power and that's the strength of the early church right here. So it's still... has it changed the power and the strength of the church right now? It's amazing just what's been happening in even my own life, our life as a church. Things are going forward here. God is on the move. He's on the move. Here's what happens when God's on the move. God moves and Satan responds, right? Satan doesn't create. He doesn't know what's coming. He sees God take a step and he says, oh. So he sees Mordecai worship the one true God and he says, well, let's send old Haman in there in the book of Esther. He sees Nehemiah start building the wall and he says, well, what about Sanballat and Tobiah? Let's send them on over. It always has this. Moses has Pharaoh. It has these different things that the enemy comes against Jesus in the wilderness. And so Satan comes against. And so when God moves, we've got to be ready. Because here's the truth. Here's what's been on my heart lately. Today's faith isn't going to take us into tomorrow's trials. It's going to have to be an upping and a stepping up and say, Lord, we want to walk stronger and deeper with you and take you further and deeper into our hearts. We want you to do your work even more. So God's timing, God's power, God's presence. I got an email that a friend who's actually a missionary, sent and said, basically, it sent it at 11:15 last night, and I just happened to see it this morning. He said, for some reason, God woke me up in the middle of the night and called me to pray for your church and for you, for me as pastor. And I just went, God's timing, God's power, God's presence, he's waking people up in the nation to pray for what God's doing. It's powerful. Strong. Do you know that God's got people praying for you and you don't even know it possibly? And you don't even know when. And we've got to operate in his presence and his power and his timing. And then we get to this further part in verse 4. It says, and then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different languages as the Spirit gave them speech. Verse 5. There were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. When this sound occurred, what's that sound? That's the wind. The multitude came together and was confused. Why? Because each one of them heard them speaking in his own language. The Greek word for that is actually dialectos, the dialect of his own language. And they were astounded and amazed and said, look, aren't these who are speaking Galileans? And that wasn't a compliment. That's like, aren't these who speak these other languages rednecks, is what they're saying? That's not really to the Greek, but, you know, it's to the Texan is what you mean. How is it that we hear each one of us in our own native language, dialect? Then it goes through of all these that are represented in verse 9 and 10. Then verse 11, if you look down in there, it says, and we hear them speaking in our own languages. What are they speaking? The magnificent acts of God. So now we have this point where we've seen his timing in Pentecost. We've seen his power in the sound of the wind. We've seen his presence in the fire. And now they begin to speak in languages they don't know. Now, I want you to share my heart with you for just a second. As we've been going through this passage, I've been studying this week, I have dreaded this passage. Let me tell you why. Because it starts talking about a controversial thing of tongues. And as I began to dread it, I began to think about, why am I dreading this? And what God showed me and kind of changed my heart on is, this is not a controversial passage on tongues. It's very clear on what these are. It's very clear in here. I'll show you what it is. This is not a topic to be dreaded. It's a topic to be, this section, I should say, is not a section to be dreaded. It's a section to be celebrated. This is the place of the early church. This is the place of the New Testament church. Now, 1 Corinthians 14 has got some difficulties and controversies to it. And I've done almost an entire message on that, of prayer languages and different things like that. And they've got it ready and available in corner books for you so that you can have that. And so with that, you can get a lot of information on that. It's online. We'll put it online as well. But that's not what this is right here. But do you know what can happen? And we have to be aware as the church, just be straight out with us. The church, not our church necessarily, the church, we love to find something to fight about with believers. Because it takes our focus off of ministering to unbelievers. So watch this. It's just my paying attention, and you can disagree or agree. The 1980s, we fought about tongues. Everybody got mad, and then the churches split, and then they went off, everybody... Then in the 1990s, we fought about music. So then we duked it out about worship. So then everybody got mad and people went here and people went here and did it. Then in the year 2000, we're not really fighting about tongues anymore. We're not really fighting about worship anymore. It's not really, you know, people still might go off on those things, but it's not the deal. And so now we fight about salvation. Is it election? Is it free will? Is it sovereignty? Is it man's response? Is it Calvinism? Is it Arminianism? Or is it Christianity? Is what I would put in the center. So then we duke it out over that. Now think how crazy that is. We fight over the beginnings of the early church. We fight over worshiping God. It's worship even for us. It's for Him. And then we fight over salvation, when our focus should be on sharing salvation so that people can worship, so that they can connect with the church. But here's the thing I want you to know. Guess what? I'm going to get to heaven. I don't speak in a personal prayer language. I'm going to get to heaven, and somebody next to me is going to, I'm going to go, there's Jesus, and they're going to go, and I'm going to go, well, all right, we're going to high five. It's going to be okay. I'm going to get, yeah, please, applaud. I'll tell you the couple other things that are happening. You're going to get to heaven, and you're going to be next to a polka praise band is what you're going to be next to. And it's going to be a guy with an accordion. So if you like the organ, that's not going to be next to you. If you like the guitar, it's not going to be next to you. It's going to be a man with an accordion with a bad voice is what it's going to be. And you're going to sing praise to God. And it's going to be just fine. You're going to get to heaven and somebody's going to say, well, I'm sure glad I prayed and asked Jesus to be my Savior. And somebody else is going to say, well, I'm sure glad that Jesus knew from the beginning days and I didn't even have a choice. Oh, great. Let's take what the church was to be and let's walk out past the battles and let's say, God, do your work. Do your work with your timing and your power and your purity and your presence. Now, are there some things that are non-negotiable? Of course there are. The inerrancy of the word, the deity of Christ, salvation through faith, no question. We go to the mat for those things. We don't mess around. Jesus is the only way, the Son of God. Those things, yes, but there's a lot of things out there that we're duking it out about that really, they've got verses that can convince you on either side of it. So let's put our face to this. So what's happening here? Here's what's happening here, and it's really clear. Look at what happens in verse 6. When the sound occurred, the multitude came and was confused because each one of them heard them speaking in what? His own language. These are known languages. Look at verse 8. How is it that we hear each other in our own native language? Look, if you will, in verse 4. Go up a little bit. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different languages. So the disciples are speaking this. They're saying this. They're not just uttering something that they don't understand, or they might not understand it, but people are hearing it. It's the legitimate language that's going out as the Spirit gave them ability for speech. Verse 11, we hear them speaking in our own language, the magnificent acts of God. Here's what is happening. God is taking this to the world. He's taking this to the world. Watch what's happening. Do you remember Genesis chapter 11? It's the Tower of Babel. The people were all just mixed up, and they have Babel. They have all these different languages. This is the bringing back from the sin of Genesis to bring back to everybody to hear. This is everybody declaring and saying that this is a worldwide gospel. This is the power of God going to the ends of the world. It is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. It is the Gentiles included. This is a new day. A brand new day. And I'm declaring the gospel to the ends of the earth, not just for the Jewish people, but for everyone that goes out. That's what the book of Acts is going to be. From Jews to Samaritans that are half Jews to Gentiles, which are not Jewish. And it goes out further and further and further. Signs and wonders are not for just sensationalism. Signs and wonders through the scriptures are through the for the validation of the work of God. So Jesus walked with miracles to validate that he was the Son of God. Here's the sentence I want to give you. The languages were for validation, not communication. The languages were for validation, not communication. Now let me tell you why. You maybe have not thought about this in Acts 2. This wasn't a bunch of people getting together that didn't know how to communicate. Somebody didn't walk up and go, "Parlez-vous français?" No, yo hablo español. Do you speak English? No, yeah, but I mean, there wasn't this, "Oh no, we don't know what to do." How do we know that? Because Peter's going to stand up and he's going to declare in Aramaic to all these folks is what they think that it was. He's going to declare to everybody and everybody's going to listen. This is what's going to happen. We'll get to that next week. And in declaring that, 3,000 people are going to come to Christ. So these people are unified with a language. They have a language. But God is speaking these different languages to their ears to say that the gospel has gone out further. So it's not for communication. They don't then wring their hands when Peter starts preaching. They trust and know that this is for validation, not for communication. It's the Tower of Babel juxtaposed against Acts chapter 2. And it's the gospel going further and further and further. And what do they declare? But they declare the magnificent acts of God. Isn't that great? They knew what they were declaring in verse 11. They speak in our own language. Now they're hearing it in their dialect. Wait a minute, God knows my dialect? This has been only for the Hebrew people at this point. And now he knows the dialect from which I'm coming, and I'm coming up to this place. God's doing something bigger. There's a new day that's happening than just coming to the temple. And I'm here on Pentecost because it's the harvest, and the harvest must be greater. Whoa. Do you know what? God goes to great lengths to say this message is for you. God goes to great lengths to say this message is for you. In saying that this message is for you, he is saying it in every dialect. Do you know that we want to speak a lot of different languages around here today? We want to be a relevant biblical community. It's our vision. Relevant is speaking different languages. What does that mean? It means that in Bible study, we're going to speak different languages. We're not going to do in the high school department what we're doing in the senior adult department. And at the same time, we're not going to do in the senior adult department what we're doing in the high school department. You can always tell a person's age by this. If you're under 60, you call it life Bible study. If you're over 60, you call it Sunday school. It's okay. It's different languages. Doesn't matter what we change the name to. Y'all will call it Sunday school. That'll be fine. So it's different dialects. It's different ways of reaching people. There'll be people that today they'll put a piece of plastic in their ear and they'll hear it in Spanish. There'll be people today that are traveling that'll watch on their phone the service. There'll be people will speak a different dialect in downtown than we will at the Loop. We'll speak different dialects in different services. God wants to say to us, and please hear this, because some of you are here and you think you just got here and God didn't notice. God goes to great lengths to tell you he wants your heart. He wants your heart. This message is for you. Don't just show up and think, yeah, I'm just here. It's for you. That God's timing has you here. God's power is here. God's presence is here to call you to Jesus Christ in depth in your Christian life. or in salvation of your soul. But what happens when this takes place? They declare the magnificent acts of God. Can you hear them in all these different languages going out? I don't know what all, we know what all languages were going out by the list that it gives us, but declaring, and they're saying, maybe one person's preaching about, you're not going to believe what happened at the Red Sea when Moses took Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea and it came. Then you hear an echo over here of somebody talking about Nehemiah. They said that if a fox jumped on the wall, it would knock it down. But wait till it happened on the 52nd day. There's a full wall around Jerusalem. Oh, really? Well, this guy's talking about Ezra when they started sending us back to rebuild the temple, and they said nobody could do it, and Ezra said yes, and they woke up King Cyrus. In the middle of the night, he was woken up in a dream, read, and gave the people of God the resources to build the temple. Well, you think that was something. Have you guys heard about the burning bush? This guy was a felon, and he was walking on the backside of a mountain, and a bush is on fire, and it didn't even burn up, and then he let our people out. Oh, you think that's something. Have y'all read Isaiah? This thing is amazing of what it's talking about. Oh, you think that's great. Have you read Daniel? Yeah, I'm confused. So am I. I don't know, but it's something great. So let's just say Daniel's awesome. You need to read Daniel if you don't know that it's confusing. You think that's super? Do you see in Micah where it said in chapter 5, verse 2, O Bethlehem, you of small clans, there'll be a Messiah born. Oh, you think that's great. In Psalm 22, it said that he would be pierced for our transgressions. He'd be nailed to the cross. Oh, that's perfect because that connects with Isaiah, and it says that by his stripes we will be healed. But do you know that the Romans hadn't even invented crucifixion at this time? And the magnificent acts of God are spoken. Do you know in this church there's people that were infertile that God opened the womb? You know that there's people in this church that were alcoholics and God broke them from it. Do you know that there's adulterers in this church that repented? Do you know that there's marriages that were breaking apart that God restored? Do you know that there's people that had no clue how they were going to make it financially and God provided? Do you know? Do you know? Do you know the magnificent acts of God? We want to tell you, teenagers, magnificent acts of God. We want to tell you, senior adults, magnificent acts of God. We want to tell you, young marrieds, magnificent acts of God. Hang in there, single. Magnificent acts of God. Oh, college student. Don't believe philosophies. Believe Jesus. And it goes out in languages they hear, they understand, they know, and they go, that's for me. And we'll see a few verses later, 3,000 of them will come. Last thing, but watch what happens in verse 12 and 13. And they were all astounded and perplexed, wouldn't you be? Saying to one another, what could this be? It's the Old Testament come to life. Verse 13. But some sneered and said, they're full of new wine. Some sneered and said, they're drunk. They're drunk. I've heard a lot of drunk people speak trilingually. They must be drunk. Gotta be wasted. That's how that happened. See, the world doesn't come around and say, oh, it's the people of God coming for Jesus to show their love. Turn on the news and watch how crazy we get called. They must be drunk. Not they must be lovers of God. New things look crazy. But when new things are done in God's presence, God's power, God's timing, he does it to validate that I'm on the move. And I want you to know this message is for you. And you can trust in me. So the passage that I dreaded, I love. It's a good one. It's a healthy one for the church. It's not the beginning of a battle. It's the beginning of the gospel going out to the entire world. It's known languages going out to known people that are understanding what they're hearing, that know now that Jesus came for them as well. That's powerful. So we look at the other passages that aren't so clear. We look at them through the lens of what is clear. And we go through and we debate and we stretch and we grow. God's at work. Let's pray. Father, we come.